Bibles, please, turn with us to the book of Genesis, the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. We're going to begin by reading verse number 1 and verse number 2, and I'll give other instructions. 49th chapter of Genesis, verse 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together, and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel, your father." Let's skip now over to verse number 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep, and lieth under blessings of the breast and of the womb. And blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of thy progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Let us pray. Father, again today I thank you for the precious Bible, the word of God. This is your word, and this preacher needs your power and your wisdom today as he preaches. You know the things I need today, Father, and I ask you for them. And Lord, to provide that which this preacher needs. And I ask you also, Lord, as the word of God goes forth, to help us, Lord, to open our hearts to receive it as we should, to let it do the work that needs to be done in each of our lives. And Father, when all is said and done, we'll sure remember to thank you and praise you. We would ask you to, Lord, if there's any here today without Christ, oh God, that soul would be saved. Thank you now. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The word bough there means a vine or a branch. It means something, and Joseph was spoken of here as one who had a very fruitful vine, very fruitful, faithful vine. And we're going to preach on that subject tonight, the fruitful vine. You know, Jacob had brought all of his sons together, called them together. Not very long, he was going to die. And he wanted them to know some things. He was going to tell them about what they was going to become and what was going to happen in the last days. And I want to center in today upon the life of Joseph, Joseph being one of my favorite Bible characters. He's somebody who we can look to and learn so many things from. And I want to speak to you a few moments about him being a fruitful vine this morning. I don't think it's hard to see why Jacob said he was going to be fruitful if you know a little bit about the life of Joseph. He done multitudes of things. He was really, when you look at him, he was really a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, probably as good a type as you find anywhere in the Bible, the Word of God. And so because of that, we certainly can see many, many things about him that why he would be called a fruitful vine. In fact, when you go back through his life, you see him constantly putting God first in his life. And in fact, you see him as a vine here by the well. Now, Brother Howard spoke on the well to us the other night in about our marriages at our Valentine's banquet, just done a really fine, wonderful job. But if you'll see here, you see where Joseph was fruitful because he was planted by the well. If you want to have some fruit, you're going to have to be planted by something that's going to provide you the moisture to give you that good fruit. And a well will do that. It's by being like the tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth its fruit in its season. You know, if you don't plant yourself by the well of the Word of God, there's going to be troubles and problems. There's going to be the wrong kind of fruit in our life. But you look back in Joseph's life, and I think about the time when he was tempted. He was tempted with sin, and he said this, "How can I sin against God?" You see, his whole thinking was this, you know, how would that affect God? And all through his life, it was that way. If you notice, when he was in prison, he says, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" When he talked to the baker and the butler about their dreams, he said, "I'll tell you where interpretations come from. They come from God." You see, every thought of his heart, every thought of his life, and that's the reason, because he was planted by the well. He's planted by the right place. He was planted and kept his whole life involved with God, and kept God as the first of his life. And you also find when he talked to his brothers, he said, "God did send me before you to preserve life." You see, even in the tragedies, which it would seem to us that there was tragedies, Joseph looked at it and said, you know, "God just sent me here to preserve life." In other words, God sent me here. It was God that did it. And I was thinking about how that we also ought to look at sometimes at seemingly hard and difficult times in life and realize God's in control. I mean, God's in control. I mean, you got to understand, this man went to prison. This man had some very difficult, hard times in his life. But he said to his brethren, you know, "God sent me here to preserve life. There was a plan. There was a purpose in it." And even to Pharaoh, he said, "God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." When he stood before Pharaoh, and here he could have become a big shot about interpretation of that which Pharaoh wanted him to interpret. No. He said, you know, it's God that gives the interpretation. It's God that does that. And then even in his last days, here's what he said. He said, "God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from here." Prophetically saying there's coming a day when you're going to be down in Egypt, yes, for a long time, but there's coming a day when God's going to visit you here. And when he does, you're going to carry my bones up out of Egypt. And of course, they did that. So what I'm saying is, you understand why Jacob, his father, called him a fruitful vine. Because his roots was in God. And that's what I guess I would like for us to do. Today, I want families to do. I want you to get your roots in God. You say, well, Brother Ross, I believe they are. Well, get them down deep. Because let me just share something to you folks. You've got to get your roots in God and keep them there, or old Satan's going to be there to do anything he can to destroy that. Amen? You got to keep them down where they belong. You got to get them rooted in the Lord. So I believe that the reason for unfaithfulness, unproductive lives in a lot of Christians today is because they just don't sink their roots by the well. You got to get your roots down by the well. Why does some folk faithfully in God's house all the time? I mean, they're just faithfully living the Christian life. They're just faithfully doing right. When they do wrong, they get it right. They correct. Why is that so? Their roots are down right. They're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And it talks about and produces its fruit in its season. You know, I think about Joseph about that. You know, there was times in Joseph's life that didn't seem too productive. I mean, when you're down in a pit getting ready to be possibly left there to starve to death, that's not too productive. But God had a reason. Why? Because there's going to be some seasons in Joseph's life. You know, in that prison, or even in Potiphar's house, I'm sure at times it didn't seem too productive, but you know what? There's going to be a season when fruit's going to come forth. In that prison, I'm sure it was difficult and hard being in that prison, but there's a season coming when the fruit is going to come. That's what I'm saying to you folks. There's a season. Now get your roots down in the well, in the Word of God. Keep your roots in God and let God then produce the fruit in its season. Amen? So what happens here, and we look at verse number 22, we see the growth of his fruitfulness. This is very, very important, because in verse 22 he says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. Once you notice, folks, he wasn't just contained within his whole home. His branches went a great distance. He became a blessing, I mean, not just in his own home, but he became a blessing all over the place. He became a blessing in Egypt. He became a blessing in the prison. He became a blessing in Potiphar's house. His house prospered. He became a blessing in Pharaoh's kingdom. You see, his branches didn't just stop at the wall. It run over the wall. And you say, Brother Ross, what's that have to do with us? Now, folks, listen. Don't you want your branches to run over the wall? Don't you want your family? Don't you want those that are in your family? Don't you want them to extend and be a blessing to this old world that's in such need of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Don't you want that to happen? Do you want it just to contain it in your own family, in your behind your own walls, or do you want them to run over the wall and become something wonderful and great? What I'm saying is, I think that every family's desire, I know that's my desire. I want my family. I want the branches to run over the wall. I want my family to do something for God. I don't want it to stop even here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church with this preacher. I want it to go on and on and on and on. That's why we have a mission hall back there, and you walk down that hall and you see those missionaries on both sides in them little oak boxes, and their pictures are there. And we say, why do we do that? Because we want our branches to go a long, long way. We want to see the gospel of Jesus Christ go around the world. Amen. And don't you want that? Don't you want that for your family? I mean, don't you want, you know, your family to go on? Amen. With Brother Bob Townsend yesterday, we was talking about Jim's ministry out there in Connecticut, you know, and he's preaching out there. He's getting ready. He said he poured the foundation for his college out there, the building for his college, you know. And, you know, that's a branch. It's going on. Amen. And there, of course, there's Luke and Hannah over in Dominican Republic. You see his missionaries over in Dominican Republic. And what is that? That's a branch that's going on. I mean, we want those branches to go over the wall. Amen. Don't you want that for your family? I'm saying to you, folks, well you're going to have to get your roots down in God. You're going to have to get your roots down by the well. Amen. For it to grow and mature and spread throughout, you know, throughout the community here, yes, but on and on and on. I want my family. I want my children. I don't want them to stop. I don't want it to stop with Don and I. I want it to go on. Amen. You know, I want Lori's family and Bobby and Jerry's and David's family to go on. I want their children's to be branches for God. That's my desire. Amen. And I want their children's children to go on and be a branch that goes around the world. Amen. Don't you want that? Amen. See, one of the main problems, honestly, we're having this in Christianity today, is we just get so caught up into the world, we forget about the future. We've got to raise our children for the glory of God. I mean, we've got to raise them so they'll go on and be branches that'll go on and on and on and on. We could get you in on a little conversation we had the other night with Brother Howard, two preachers just talking. He said, Brother Ross, he was talking about some of our young people and our teenagers, and he knew that some of them was in Bible college, and he said, you know, we're not seeing a lot of that in a lot of churches today. We're not seeing, I didn't mean he's not seeing it, but he said, you're not seeing enough of that. And he said, you know, he said, seemed like you used to see more of this. I said, let me tell you something. I said, well, you go back into the 60s. Now, I'm not the first one that said this, but you go back into the 60s and the 70s. You go back in there, and I want to tell you something. God did a marvelous work in the 60s and the 70s. And I want to tell you something. I know I was saved in 1966. I was called to preach in 1970. But I get with people. I get with preachers. You'd be surprised that the amount of preachers that I run into that was saved during the 60s, was called during the 60s or the early 70s. God done a marvelous, marvelous work calling out preachers all over this country. Little old preachers like me that, you know, wouldn't amount to much anywhere else, but just here in little old Jasonville doing the work of God. Amen. Been doing it for a lot of years. Amen. Been preaching for 34 years. But God did that back in that time. And I said, I told him, I said, you got to understand something. Back then, when God called, you just simply said, if you meant business with God, you just said, it doesn't matter what it cost. It doesn't matter the sacrifice. I never stopped and said, God, if you'll give me a new home or you'll give me this or that or I'll preach for you. That did not enter my mind. I mean, I could go back and tell you, and I'm not going to tell you the whole story because too many, you've heard it before, but I'm just telling you. I mean, God put me in a place. You're going to quit your job down at Anaconda Aluminum Company. I had four children. I was raising a family. You're going to go to school. You're going to drive back and forth to Bible college, and you're going to quit that. You're going to go into the ministry, and do you want to do that? That's basically what he was saying to me. Are you willing to sacrifice? I said, yeah, God, I didn't know anything else to do. No, you know, most of you don't understand this. I mean, you just do it. You just do it. And he said, that's wonderful. What's happening now? I said, I'll tell you exactly what's happening now. Most of the time, either the people are not listening and they won't pay attention to the call of God upon their life, or worldlyism and materialism has got them. And they're afraid to sacrifice. Say, are you kidding? You mean I got to quit my job, or I've got to do this, I've got to do that, and I've got to go give up all of this and go and preach? Yes, let me tell you something. I told Brother Howard that. I don't know of one preacher worthy salt that hasn't been tried by God. That put in a position, you're just going to have to sacrifice. I don't know one. Any preacher down through the years has had to sacrifice. I look at Brother Poet back there. I remember, Brother Poet, when you first come to this area, I remember some of the things it was tough. I remember that, what you was going through back in those days. I still remember that. He come over and put his kids, his girls in our Christian school. You know why? He knew that was right to do. And it was tough. It was hard. He sacrificed. I've seen Jerry sacrifice. Jerry and Cheryl sacrifice. I've seen them do it down through the years. No, I've seen it. He puts them in a position. He puts a preacher in a position. I know what we went through, and I'm not griping about that, but I'm just telling you, God just puts you in a sacrificial a place where you're either going to have to sacrifice or you're not going to do it. Now, what's happening today is most of the folk don't want to sacrifice, so they're just trying to hang on to world and materialism and say, one of these days, God, I'll do your will. That's why we're not seeing men of God called out and going out and getting something done for God. Many college students, and excuse me, Brother Scott, I'm not saying you're this way, but many college students today want to go out, and they want a big church, and they want a new car provided for them, and they want a house, and they want all this. They don't want to go out and just start a church. They just don't want to do anything. You know, they're afraid they're going to sacrifice. That's what's happening today. Back in the 60s and the 70s, I want to tell you, you just sacrifice because it was right to do it. And God blessed that. He blessed it. Whether you realize it or not, Bob Hamlin's same practically situation as I am. He got saved the same time I did, practically. I mean, I'm talking about in the same area of time. And done the same thing, sacrificed, just went ahead and went to school and just done what, you know. And you'd be surprised. Jerry told me he's met preachers all over the place that was during the 60s and 70s have a story much compared to what his daddy has. You know what? God just called them and they just said, okay. We didn't have any more sense. We just done it. Now you're finding trouble finding people who'll do that. That's why we're not seeing churches started like they should be started. When we're seeing a sense of revival going on in this great country of ours. No, no, no. Liberalism is taken over. Brother Casper gave me a piece on the mega churches the other day. There's 841. I went back and looked at that. Mega churches in America today. That's them big churches that are formed to suit the people and to do whatever the people want to do. And one of the preachers of the biggest ones down in Texas, here's what he said. I'll quote him. He said, sin in my church is not on the menu. 25,000 people going to that church, buying a bigger building, a big mega building, where they can get 35,000 people in, and you can go there, you can get join the ways, lose weight for Jesus, or you can join a ball game, a team, and he said, they don't just have teams, they have leagues. And you can do that when you come to church. Yeah, you hear a message, he comes and preaches to them for a little while, but never about sin. He said, what that's for, he said, I bring them there to boost them up. And he needs to be booted out. Amen? I'm just simply saying to you folks, that's what it's come to. See, it's all over America like that. I'm not saying there's not good churches out there. We know there is. Thank God for the good churches that are doing right. But there's some multitudes of these. They don't want to live for God. People don't want to hear about sin. They want to come to a church where sin is not mentioned. Go home feeling good about themselves. Well, you could feel good about yourself in Christ. Amen. But still be convicted by the Holy Spirit of God. We need old-fashioned preaching about sin. Amen. So I'm saying to you folks, we need to get back to that. We need a generation of families that their vine goes over the wall. Amen. Doesn't stay within their own home. It goes over the wall and reaches people for Christ. Amen. Willing to sacrifice for God. You're never gonna win that. Let me just tell you right now. God brought me two or three times in my life where he just said, this is what you're going to do if you're going to serve me. I walked to Anaconda Aluminum Company that day. Had one of the best jobs at Anaconda Aluminum Company. I mean, I was making good money for those days. Good money. He said, you're going to quit your work. You're going to go full time. And that's what I did. No. You know what he came? He also... It came to a place. I had a place. Bought a place out here where Dave and Eileen Liffick live right now. We had that place. We bought that place. He brought me to the place where I didn't have enough money. I quit my job. I was in full-time ministry. And I want to tell you, full-time ministry back in those days, you didn't get much. I had to sell my place. He said, get rid of it. Just go on. We sold our place. Sacrifice. Well, do you think maybe it was worth it? You think maybe it's worth it? You think all the ministries, if you just look around at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? No, we're not everything. We know that. But if you look around at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and look at what God has done here, 30 years running buses, 30 years of seeing souls saved. Amen. 30 years of ministries that's just, you know, it's just, you can't even count up all that God has done here. Is it worth it? I believe it was. Amen. You see. But God honors sacrifice. You hear me? Joseph was a man, you look at his life, I want to tell you right now, he was a man of sacrifice. I sat in my office the other day and I was looking through the book of Acts and I was reading. There was a verse of scripture that I wanted a little help on. I reached up and pulled a commentary from John R. Rice. I pulled it down, I put it in my lap, and before I even looked at the verse of Scripture, I sat there for a few moments and I said, down there the years, many, many years ago, John R. Rice died, and I'm sitting here reading some words that he wrote. It was just one little verse that I wanted to look up, and I read it, and I was blessed by it, and I said, thank you for being faithful, Mr. Rice, for all those years. Thank you so much, and he was a blessing to me now. I said, your vine went over the wall, brother. I mean, it went way over the wall. I was listening to my radio the other day, and that good radio station we got around here, we got some good fundamental, good preaching and good music and all of that, and I was listening to Oliver B. Green come on. He was wound up that morning. I mean, he was wound up tighter than a 30-day clock. He was up preaching, wouldn't shut up, just preaching, hollering, screaming, and yelling at people and telling people this and that. And I was sitting there just saying, praise God. Ben, that's how I cut my teeth on him, going back and forth to work. Forever got saved, going back and forth to work. After I got saved, but forever got called to preach. Go back and forth to work on midnight shift and go turn old Brother Oliver on the way home. And he'd be preaching at me, preaching. And I said, yes, Brother Oliver. Oh, man. And I look back, he went way over his wall. In distance and time. Amen. What I'm saying is, don't you want that? Don't you want that for your family? Well, it's just not going to automatically happen. You're going to have to make it work. You're going to have to teach them and train them and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you're going to have to help them to walk with God and pray for them and help get them out there to serve God so that vine of yours will go over the wall. Amen. You say, well, I haven't got a very good start. Well, just start now. You can't start a better place than now. Amen. Just do it. And then if you look in verse number 23 of Genesis 49, he says, and the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in the strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. I want you to notice something. There was battles. There was the archers shooting at him. You know why they were shooting at him? You know what the cause of the battles was? Well, why didn't they pick on somebody else? Let me tell you why they didn't pick on somebody else. They picked on the fruitful vine. And there was battles. They hated him. Do you understand? I want to ask you a question. If you want to rob somebody to get money from them, do you want to go up here on one of the streets of Jasonville and find some drunkard and some bum that don't have any money? Are you going to go up and stick your gun in his belly and say, "Give me all your money"? He ain't got any. You're going to go into a bank, or you're going to find somebody who's got some money. That's who you're going to try to rob. Amen. Well, I want to tell you, who are the ungodly going to pick on? They ain't going to pick on somebody that ain't doing anything for God. They're going to pick on somebody that's doing something for God. They're not worried about you if you're not a witness for Christ. They're not worried about you. Why should they worry about you? They're going to pick on somebody that's doing something for the Lord. They picked on Joseph because he was a fruitful vine. He was doing something, and so they shot at him with their arrows. You see, it's the godly that's going to be persecuted. So is this doing something for God, trying to win souls for Christ, being a good witness for Christ. They're the ones that's going to get it. Amen? Let me show you also in verse 23 there. He says, the archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. I want you to know something. Those that came after him, they're called archers. They was well trained. I mean well trained at their profession. They knew what they was doing. I want to tell you something. Joseph's enemies were well trained. You want to look back and read about his brothers. His brothers was no beginners in their deception. They was well trained. If you read about the lives of those brothers, it's wicked lives many times. They knew what they was doing when they came against Joseph. Potiphar's wife was no novice. I think she'd been doing that for years. She was not a beginner. She knew what she was doing. So the enemies of Joseph, let me tell you, was people who were experts. And those who are working against God's people, they are experts. Let me tell you something. Satan is no novice. He's been doing this from the very beginning back in the Garden of Eden. He's been doing this for a long time. He knows what he's doing. You need to understand you are fighting an enemy that knows what he's doing. Amen. He's an expert at it. Let me show you what it said about Joseph and why he won the battle. See, you know what I believe? I believe many of God's saints are fallen by the wayside simply because they've never put their roots down by the rivers of water. They're not strong. They're not settled in the faith. And because of that, the enemy is so much smarter than them and so much stronger than them, it just doesn't take much to make them fall. Right. Yes, sir. Right. We've got to make a strong stand against evil. Right. It's out there. It's trying, well, you understand or not, it's trying to destroy you this morning. It's trying to take away your faithfulness. Oh, yeah. Old Satan's doing everything he can to stop you this morning. He don't want you to go a step farther in your Christian life. He's satisfied when you are backslidden away from God and not doing anything for God. That satisfies him. That satisfies him when you're unwilling to repent and turn to God and ask forgiveness and cleansing of your sin. That satisfies Satan. He loves it. Hear what this preacher's saying? Sure. Listen, the battle was fierce. Listen what it said here. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. This was a fierce battle. But look at verse number 24, and let's see how that battle was won. He said, but his bow abode in strength, and his arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. If you notice here, his bow, he had a bow also. And it was strong, made strong by God. Amen. You see, Jesus said, we need a bow. Jesus said, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Jesus said, you got to watch. You got to pray. What you need to do is watch and pray. See, that's why Paul said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You got to get the armor of God on. Amen. Joseph here, he had a bow, if you'll notice there in verse 24, but his bow abode in strength. He was prepared personally to fight these battles. And you and I both need to be prepared because the battles are coming. See, you know, honestly, now just listen to me. You know the reason a lot of folk don't have any battles? They don't have any intention of doing anything for God. Well, they don't have any intention of doing anything for God. So there's not going to be a whole lot of battles. Oh, they'll have battles in their personal life, and they'll have this and that, but they don't have any battles with Satan because they're not going to do anything for God anyway. Joseph here was a man who was a fruitful vine, and they shot at him, they hated him, they despised him. You know why? Because he was doing something for God. His roots were down in by that well. You understand what I'm saying? Sure. Sure. And you notice there, he was prepared powerfully. He had strength. He got his strength from the Lord. And let me say to you what he had. He had convictions. Amen. He didn't just have preferences. Right. Well, I'd rather not do this sin, but if I have to, I have to. No, he had convictions. Amen. This I'm not going to do. Amen. I'm not going to be a part of. Right. Why? It's against God. It's against the word of God. He had conviction. Boy, Christians need convictions. Amen. I'm going to do this because it's right to do this. I'm not going to do it because it's wrong to do it. Amen. Sure, and Joseph was that kind of a person. There's a lot of people who have opinions and have preferences about things, but you need convictions. Amen. I'm just not going to do it. You know what, today? You're just not going to see me in no movie house. No, you're not going to see me in no movie house. Why? I got a conviction about it. I'm not going to be there. You're not going to see me drink a beer. Why? I've got conviction. You're not going to see me smoke a cigarette. I've got conviction. You understand what I'm saying? Do you hear this, preacher? You ought to have some convictions. I'm not going to do it because it's wrong. It's a terrible testimony. It's wrong. I'm not going to go certain places. Why? It's wrong. I'm just not going to do it. Hear what this preacher's saying? See, Joseph had convictions. You find strong men of God down through the word of God. You find they had convictions. Daniel had convictions. Amen. He was not going to defile himself with the king's meat. Right. He had conviction. Right. We need convictions. Yeah. Strong convictions. Not only that, the Bible says in that verse of scripture, but his bow abode. I want to tell you something. He was consistent. He didn't quit. He wasn't up one day and down the other. He wasn't going to do one thing one day and not going to do something one day and the next day going to do it. No, he abode in his convictions. Amen? He wasn't a Sunday night Christian or a Sunday morning Christian. He was an all day, every day Christian. That's what we need. Amen? Convictions. Amen? Verse 25, verse 26. Even by the God of our Father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy Father have prevailed above the blessings of thy progenitors. Unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. I want to tell you something. If you read down through this, we won't take a whole lot of time on it. If you read down through there, the blessings of God was upon Jacob, our Joseph. And the reason I look at this and I read this and I really believe that God is telling us the reason the blessing of God was upon him, all these things that we've said, but also he was separate from his brethren. Separation. I believe with all of my heart. I know separation is unpopular today. I know a lot of people don't want to hear a bit about it. But I want to tell you, separation from this old world and wickedness will bring blessings to your life. Blessings that you're not going to get any other way. I still believe that separation is the way of blessing. You want blessing on your life? Separate from this old world. Quit doing the things that this world does. Separate from the brethren who do. That makes sense. Don't you want blessings on your life? Man, I want God's blessings on my life. You know, you have to separate from places, from people, from practices, from beliefs? You just have to separate. You have to get away from that. You have to turn to the Lord and get in the Word of God and believe what the Bible says and go according to the Bible. Separate from those things. No, also you got to separate from some of those friends that will lead you astray. You got to separate from that pet pleasure you have. It's taking you down the wrong trail. You understand what this preacher's talking about? You understand what I'm saying? Man, it's separation. You got to make a choice of separation. And we in Christianity, most folk don't want to take a choice in separation. They want to hang on to this side of the world and that side of the world. They want their foot over here and their foot over there instead of right down the middle. Well, we just need to walk with God. Joseph was that kind of a man. He was separate from his brethren. Amen? Folks, listen. Don't you want that kind of life? Don't you want to be a fruitful vine? Just stick in there. Just keep walking with God. Keep doing right. No, not for a week or 2 weeks or a month or a year. Just keep doing it for the rest of your life. The blessings of God will come upon your life. Amen? This world needs that. This world needs to see a generation of Christians that'll get back to when we years back when they just sold out for God. They just sold out. Didn't make a difference what it cost them. They just sold out. It cost them friends. It cost them materially. It cost them a lot of things. But they just sold out. That's what this old world's looking for. Some real Christians. That's what they're looking for. Amen. I trust that you're willing to be one of those. You know, it might be this morning. You don't even have the beginning of it. Nothing wrong with that. Back in 1966, before 1966, I didn't have the beginning of it either. I wasn't saved. I wasn't born again. God told me to sell my place before 1966. I'd have laughed. But after 1966, it was a whole different world. Why? I got saved. I got born again. Now I'm saying to you, you may not be born again. You may not be a God's child. You may not be able to say today, I'm God's child. I know for sure I put my faith and trust in Jesus. I know for sure that I was saved at certain time, or maybe you don't know the exact time, but you know when you got saved, where you was at. When did you get saved? There's a time of new birth. Amen. Amen. Well, was there that time in your life? Are you sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Are you sure of that? Amen. If you're not, boy, we got good news for you. This invitation, you can come down this aisle, walk right down this aisle, and we'll have people standing right up here, and they'll take the word of God or get someone to do it, show you how you can be saved. Just like that old 74-year-old man got saved yesterday. You can get saved this morning. And as a Christian, you may need to just walk this aisle, get alone up here with God and say, God, I'm going to quit fooling around. I'm going to quit playing games. I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to follow your lead. I'm going to get in my Bible. I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to walk with God. Amen. That's a decision I'm going to make. And I'm going to quit walking in both with one foot in the world and one with God. I'm going to quit that. Let's bow our heads. Close your eyes. Bow your head. Close your eyes. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your goodness and kindness. And Lord, there's folk here unsaved. Father, they need to be saved. Need to be born again. And Lord, I'm going to ask them about that in just a moment. I ask you, Lord, to deal with their hearts, help them to be honest. Lord, I'm going to talk to Christians also. And Lord, ask them about where they're at with God, what they need to do. And Father, I trust that you'll help them to just be mindful that you're here this morning, that you're listening, and they'll be truthful. Just want to ask you a question this morning, folks. If you're here today and you say, Brother Ross, I know for sure without any shadow of doubt there's been a time in my life when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I know that. Would you just raise your hand? I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again for sure, 100%. Thank you. Put your hand down. Say, Brother Ross, I'm here this morning and I can't say that. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm God's child. But I sure am concerned about this. I'd like to know for sure about my salvation. Would you just raise your hand, please? Just raise your hand. I'd like to know for sure. Yes, God bless you. Thank you. I'd like to know for sure that I'm saved. Just raise your hand. You say, Brother Ross, I'm a child of God. I know I'm saved. I know I'm born again. And there's just a lot of areas of my life needs to be straightened out. I need to sell out to God. I just need to give it all to Him. It's just, you know, the Holy Spirit dealt with me this morning, and I'm concerned about some areas of my life. I just need to be right with God. I need to do some things that are right. I need to straighten some areas of my life out. Would you just raise your hand, please? Just raise your hand. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Others, thank you. Someone else, thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Anyone else? So I just need to do right. Father, thank you again today for your goodness, your kindness, your grace. And I pray, Father, that you just help these folk who was, Lord, honest enough just to raise their hand or something, Lord, that they feel like they need to get right with you. And whatever it may be, I know, Lord, you've dealt with them, and that's good, and you love them so much. And I pray, Father, they'll get all that straight, whatever it might be, Lord, get their lives all like it should be. Help them to get that roots down by the well, your well, Father. And to help them to live a life of fruitful vine, be a fruitful vine, that their vine will run over the wall and be a blessing to many. Now we just ask your blessings, your help today, in Jesus' name. Amen.